Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Strap on your helmets and take on the Covenant with me in a show that they said could never be made and whose cancellation maybe justifies that saying as we blast off into Space Marine action this week on Cosmic Halo. This is your Master Chief here, Patrick, popping off that helmet almost immediately as soon as the episode starts and joining me in swimming in the waters of the Flood and protecting colonial citizens are my five fellow super soldiers and your players. To my far left, a scientist with a penchant for making naked AI programs. It's Gerbert. Trapping away his jam from.
Why are they always naked, though? That's what you got to ask yourself.
It's so hard to code clothing on AIs.
You ever tried to code a seam? It's impossible.
It's impossible. They got to be naked. They got to be nude because they ain't got no souls.
Across the digital table from me, an alien beast made of CGI ready for a sword fight. It's Miles, making believe it's redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, a Spartan 2 genetic freak who ain't got time to bleed. Why, it's Tyler talking as Praetor.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, an evil human raised by the Covenant, pulling the old Gaius Baltar. We got Drew dying to play Zilk Thel.
Except this one has an Irish accent.
And across from him, a forerunner making a big old ring in the sky to kill all sentient life. It's none other than Rebecca Rowland with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
I've watched so many like plot of Halo videos online and like people describing the lore, and it's like I still don't understand how and why the Halos are like weapons. They like make some kind of gigantic pulse.
Am I the only one
that's the short answer.
Watched this show in its entirety? I mean, one of seven people on this planet that watched the entire Halo series.
Do you have Paramount Plus? Yeah.
Yeah. For Star Trek.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy.
But yeah, that first season of that show was not very good. And the second season was much better, but it was too late.
I remember watching a Halo lore video before Infinite came out, just because I was kind of curious what had happened since I stopped playing like 15 years prior. And boy, howdy. Does it get very weird?
Well, and it also does a lot of weird stuff after, you know, that company Bungie. I don't know if you guys
literally about to say something before you cut me off. Once Bungie left, there's a clear divide. And once Destiny happened, there's a clear, oh, we're doing this too. And it's very, very odd, especially when you play the game, because I'm like, none of this is present.
And then the story of Halo Infinite itself seems to be kind of a reset of things, because it was obvious that people hadn't played like three of the Halo games in the middle.
It also felt like none of it mattered.
Yeah.
Like, the entire time, I don't feel that the story matters at all. the little hook shot was cool, though. I did like that.
Yeah. I never finished that game either.
You're not missing much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Drew. You get a re-roll last week for having watched Halo. Use it wisely last week. But to determine this week if someone gets a reroll, we got to talk about what happened last time on the podcast, everybody. Last time on Cosmic Crit, the enemy battle cruiser, the fated Harvest, began. The fated Harvest began to flee the Starfleet combat towards the dark side of New Galarion's moon, while Jamfram scored a massive hit with the prototype Necropositrine cannon. The ship still managed to escape. While the rest of the Colt Armada likewise retreated, Ezrin Shire suggested you seek to capture their leader, Cruel Veth. On the moon's surface, you found dark crystals which seemed to have an effect. No effect on anyone except Praetor. It did have an effect on Praetor. And after listening to the distant whispers of the crystal, a space aberration attacked, and the party killed the Umbra Saigot with prejudice. What is wrong with that last time on?
It looks right to me, so I don't know.
Oh, you take no notes on Monday, last week, this week? We play in twice this week.
I took a little bit of notes.
You took 10 times as many as almost anyone else, probably. I think this is the time that I mentioned that we're getting towards the end of season 5, book 6 and season 5 here. And we're not doing this next time we play. So you guys should appreciate these while they last, you know, while these last times on last. You know, thinking back of the games previously. Good times.
I just hope that you're ready for all the times that Miles and I ask, so what happened last week?
The second someone does that, I'm like, all right, we're pausing recording and we're listening to the entire episode. We'll do it in like 2x speed, but.
Oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was shooting the necropository in canon, was I? I was just using the regular guns, right?
It was kind of implied because Rebecca had started.
Because she'd powered him up, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Done a thing. Ah, well. Oops. Sorry. Sorry, gang.
I'm in team. Know. This is right.
Yeah.
Tyler? Tyler's giving a audio, thumbs up.
Yes.
On an audio podcast. Correct.
don't mention that. Tyler, are you playing with Pokemon cards over there?
No, I never split attention between the show and other interests of mine.
Gosh, I totally would if I could. I have so many tchotchkes and stuff by my desk. I would be all over it. Yeah, this is a correct last time on. As Yay. Correct as my memory can potentially serve. Indeed, this week's you guys get the reroll. This week's episode starts with you having killed the Umbra Saigot here on the moon's dark side. And once more, perhaps shows us here holding on to one of these crystals. Tyler, your character kind of feels an immense darkness, a massive shadow overtaking you and darkening all the nooks and crannies of the moon. You watch as that dark purple star kind of fills the night sky, radiating beams of necrotic energy. Your friends disappear. The moon's surface disappear. You're just plunged in the dark. And you're left save for yourself and your memories here. And can remember something perhaps buried long ago, 100 years ago, as we see you in your Astrozoan form staggering to some computer monitors and seeing the surface of New Galerion and seeing the same dark star floating in the sky, taking up the space above the planet. And you watch as what looks like a solar flare of purple energy kind of roils downward like lightning in the moment before it hits. You run back into your bunker, desperately seeking shelter, but as the radiation begins to burn through the facility, burn through your flesh, you remember taking the prototype necropositrine gun, kind of placing it against your starfish chest and ripping that trigger, just boom. It's a bright flash of white light engulfs you for a moment. And then all of a sudden you're right back here on the moon where we left off. You've dropped the crystal you were holding to the lunar surface, and you can still kind of somewhat psychically hear the whispers coming out of it. And yeah, you're shaken somewhat for a brief moment, but Pradier is absolutely certain that this entity, Misaxenoi, this force of evil and death, is indeed imminently inbound for you, your world once again. And to boot, if you and your crew are not able to figure out a way to stop it, just about everything you've worked for the last few years, everything on that planet is going to be turned to ruin. The remains of the civilization you've started to build left for whoever finds it next.
It's fine.
But you'll all be dead. Everyone will be dead. And also all of your level 1 characters here now too, so they will also be murdered.
Yeah, I thought this was like a rogue. I thought we were playing this season like a roguelike. So this is our, you know, this is our first attempt. Now we'll.
You've already gone through it. Your first attempt. You were here 100 years ago.
I'm a veteran. Yeah.
Yeah. What trait would you like from your Astrozoan self?
Hmm.
And yeah, as As you get done with this vision from Crystal, you look around and can see like an aura around your four friends as well. Something kind of faintly glowing around them. It dissipates after a moment, but you look down and you as well have this aura shimmering around your hands. But yeah, as you're back in here, you see Jamfram like pulling his shield out of the Umbra Saigot. And I think that's where we ended last week. You just got finishing up combat. What would you like to do? This is for anybody.
Can I roll mysticism on why I'm glowing? Or have I always been glowing because I'm still...
No, this is something else. This seems like a second sight. Go ahead and make a mysticism check. I wasn't planning on this, but maybe your character has some insight into what's happening.
That would be nice. When the player doesn't have insight, it's nice if the character can. I hope I roll like I was last week. Nope, we've found... Dang it, can never go 2 weeks in a row. 27.
You guys rolled very well last week, but 7 on dice, this is not going to be a success. It doesn't seem like a vision. It seems like something that's actually happening, but as kind of your connection to this crystal lessens, it does go away, and you can see yourself and your allies as they really are here on the moon's surface. Yeah. How's everyone doing? Does anybody need to take a rest break?
Don't think so.
Yeah, I could use a 10.
I took one hit. I would like to rest.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Zilla redacted, and Zilla will kind of cruise on forward for everybody while they rest. And
Well, you see in the distance, in the thin, hazy atmosphere of the moon here, what looks like a plume of smoke rising off of what looks like a downed starship.
So did they get a new pope too?
It is black smoke, so no. Oh, okay. They're still working on it. The space pope. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm trying to open up the PDF here and it's signing me out. Adobe.
Oh no.
Doop. I would like to read. Let's see. And you're getting signed out. Boom. There we go. Already. It's like mid description from the book, and it's like, you've been signed out. Sorry, you can't read. You gotta play the podcast right now. Can we just, before we move on, talk about how much I dislike the old tentacle cockroach leg weird segmented design of the Umbra Saigot? I know I've taken you off so you can't see anymore, but ugh.
Yeah, no, that thing was...
Glad you guys absolutely murdered that thing.
Great.
Yeah, so you see a starship in the distance. Zilix redacted is about 400 feet long. It looks like a long haul freighter, probably touched down here, damaged after encountering the Culling Shadow fleet. But yeah, it is directly in your path towards the coordinates that you guys are marching towards. And why don't you make me engineering or piloting check. So yeah, okay, you take a look at it from afar.
Hey, you're redacted. Do you want automatic aid?
Oh, my white rolled twice, but 34.
34. He doesn't need your aid. Oh gosh, hold on. What did you physically roll on the dice?
I think an 18.
Yeah, you probably would have gotten this with a 3 on the dice. Yeah, you could recognize this as a ATEC Keystone heavy freighter ship, and can tell it's been modified somewhat, so it's probably a ship that was altered to be able to fight in the starship combat, fight in the armada against the cultists here. And yeah, it looks like it still has some power to it, but it is definitely damaged. Maybe they're seeking repairs or something along those lines. Do you guys, once you're done with your 10-minute rest, you want to go investigate? Do you want to take a look?
I wonder who we could possibly meet over here.
I don't know. Are you assuming that there's someone on this starship?
You made a big deal about the Drift Rider being there, that I assumed this is the Crash Drift Rider, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
No. In fact, you're so wrong, Drew. We're going to travel back now to the surface of New Galerion, where we see the perfectly pristine Drift Rider 2 touching down in Viridian Colony.
Ah, good.
And perhaps a happy reunion between longtime allies, universal protectors. We watch as Nak Feldspar, Raimi, Quindar step off the starship, flanked by crew members and starfinders. At the bottom of the ramp, you can see a mystical journeyman, Adras Varanus, the slightly reduced in size Andis 148, wearing a Galarion World sweater, and the limited edition Explorer Desert outfit, Dra. And
she's a chase figure version.
Yeah, the Rootin' Tootin' Cowboy, Alindra.
That version was limited run, and each one was serialized. So we got to check that underneath her foot.
Yeah,
You guys have had adventures in the years since the Civ invasion, since saving Absalom Station once again. Adventures together, but the five of you have not had a single adventure with all of you in that time. You've had, like, maybe Nak and Raimi helped out Alindra at one point, or Adras and Dra helped Andis 148 looking for another founding 19 member. So yeah, this is the first time in some time that the five of you have been together again. Just been so busy exploring the universe, making business deals.
That's what we
being,
do.
Being level 20 and not having any.
That's why they call it busyness. Busyness.
There you go.
Business.
I'm dropping you guys into season 1/4, I guess, more accurately. Characters. What do you guys have to say to one another on this happy reunion, even though the world's kind of being invaded?
I thought we said we'd agreed to meet at 10:30, not 10:45.
You guys.
Got him.
Never get your times right. What I can't understand is I've walked all over this planet. I don't get what the fuss is over.
Well, your character especially knows that.
Ross has a t-shirt that says, I went to New Galarian and then all got this stupid t-shirt.
Yeah. And met Santa Claus.
Also, Santa was there.
Your character knows for a fact that this is, you know, just a planet that's been made to look like the Lost Galarian, so it's even less exciting. It's like the entire world is a theme park of sorts.
Lindra, I heard you almost died. Sorry.
It's okay. I was just going to say, hey, Andis, if we manage to save New Galarian, can we all get tickets to the theme park?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's on the house as long as it's still standing.
Breaking news, this just in from Galarian News Network. Galarian world destroyed in battle.
the only, like, the planet was fine except for Galarian world. It's like burning down and I'm just counting the insurance money. Like, oh no, a battle. Hiding a can of gas behind my back.
Hey, anyway, I bought a new space yacht. You guys want to go for a fly?
Who wants to go for a space ride?
Well, you have made a promise to try and keep Viridian Colony safe.
Just a promise, a pinky promise.
Yeah, while the new Viridian administrators are out there, you know, working on defeating the Culling Shadow. What most of your characters know of the Viridian administrators. I'm interested to know if the heroes of the Drift Rider have opinions on, I don't know, just one of the Viridian administrators. Say, I don't know, Zilix does, or does Nak have something to say about Zilix? Does Alindra have something to say about, you know, yeah, all your characters, do they have something to say about their equivalent?
Well, I think Nak's sister probably space emailed him some rundowns of everything. So I'm sure he's got plenty to say, but probably be like, you know, that lizard guy. What's that guy's deal? Never sounds the same. You have four conversations with him. He's got a different voice each time. What's going on?
How certain are you that this is Nak's voice, Drew?
I'm pretty certain about Nak's voice.
Okay.
I feel like Raimi would have probably combed over some dossiers and probably doesn't trust a single member of this crew.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like there's some pretty shady backgrounds.
Not just that. It's like, having looked over everything, he's probably like, I don't know about any of these people.
Especially redacted.
I mean, obviously. But like, that's the obvious one. You know, like, I feel like looking over, like, you know, looking over feeds and stuff of every single adventure, Raimi's just like, who let this happen?
Miles, there's one point where Raimi was an outlaw. Raimi was wanted by the authorities.
These people aren't wanted, though, are they? They run the place.
That is true. Yeah, they are the law.
He was Raimi. These people aren't Raimi.
That's also true. There's only one Raimi Quindar.
He's kind of right. He's kind of got us there.
My trademark company made sure of that.
As you say, didn't we do a whole cloning situation with your character, or is that a different character?
It was a different character, but we also did a whole set of movies and stuff. Like, those things are trademark, copywritten, and merchandised. Anything we brought a supply of merch.
Neck does hire out the guy that played Raimi in the movies to go to functions when you're not available.
I don't know much about the others, but do you know how much you have to mess up to worship Pharasma and then end up undead? That's a pretty bad bar to jump. So I don't, kind of hard to take them seriously, I guess.
I mean, we've had our own questionable run-ins with the undead ourselves, bud.
I
try not to think about it, but yeah.
It's about as equivalent as being a bloodthirsty pirate and then suddenly worshiping Saren Ray.
But we kind of, yeah. I mean, outside of like a couple, we kind of peaked with those first season characters, didn't we?
Well, yeah, though, you guys, we made them in such a vacuum, which is hilarious in retrospect.
It also felt like we played them in that first book for 6 months, even though just because we didn't know what, like, we were doing. But it wasn't that long.
I remember the first 4-hour spaceship combat session that like drove me to near insanity.
What was that? You wanted more starship combat, Miles? You want this episode to be that? All right, we're back in the Peridot Peregrine.
I will, as the pilot, I will crash this ship into the nearest asteroid or celestial body, and this adventure is over.
That is not an action you can take, unfortunately. A narrative starship combat is.
I will make it
into the ground.
Annual landing.
Jabert, any words of wisdom from Andis 148?
Don't break my theme park.
Your achy breaky theme park?
My achy breaky theme park.
Did you, Anders, did you get my message about how none of the safety features on your theme park fit me?
I am not going to acknowledge that question. You should take that up with my attorneys. Right. Our attorneys. We have the same attorneys, don't we?
I think
Jim about that.
I'm hoping he doesn't survive the battle. So,
I guess I don't have anything in particular. I apologize.
I think Alindra, in looking at Asher and Sky, I suspect that she's familiar with the battle flowers and sort of fascinated by the battle flowers. Perhaps has even, you know, gone to the seedy underground or underworld to view a battle flower demonstration or something, you know, culture. And I think that Drew would be surprised by how little Asher and Sky use hand-to-hand combat considering their martial arts training.
Hey, she's following her mom's footsteps. I don't know what to tell you. She changed it up. She flipped the script. Oh man, I wish you guys watched the Cobra Kai TV show. Nobody here does, huh? Not a single person did.
The first four.
Oh, well, then you understand. You flipped the script.
I will say something about that. As I was driving my son home from his soccer practice a couple weeks ago, and I looked down at the map of my GPS, and Cobra Kai House was on the map as I drove by because we live close enough to where the mansion that is in the house or the show is.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, yeah, I just wanted to, one, dispel the fact that this starship on New Galarian's moon was going to have any characters that you love. they're all back on the planet, and if you guys mess up, they will all be dead. I think indeed there is still the threat of the
delicious steaks.
the armada invading once more. But yeah, all of your characters maybe similarly have, as much as you believe in the Viridian administrators, maybe have doubts about these heroes as well, as you look up in the night sky and see the twinkling of a purple star that was not there just a few weeks ago. Let's get back to the moon's surface. Let's get back to these heroes here after your rest. Are you heading forth, heading towards the coordinates?
Yeah.
Indeed, as you get closer to this A-Tech Keystone freighter, this heavy freighter, you can get pingbacks from your scanners that this is a starship known as the Golden Key. If you try to hail them, there is no response. But yeah, as you get closer, it does look like the aft cargo bay is open, like exposed. And there looks like there is some plasma scoring on the backside of the starship. Curiously, though, there looks to be some of these crystal formations nearby the ship that have been maybe destroyed. You've seen them kind of growing straight up out of the lunar surface in a few places. And I think you surmised last week with the physical science check that they were from like asteroid impacts, like fused sand and glass as something has impacted the surface and kind of grown outwards from there. At least a couple of these have been destroyed nearby, and that is what you see here as you get close to the ship.
Should we approach the cargo bay since it's open?
I mean, if it's open, then it's like we're allowed to have the stuff, right?
I mean, everything that means we don't even have to knock.
Is cool.
Yeah, we should probably be on alert, just because even if there are survivors, they may not be, you know, ready for friendly.
That's true. That's also true.
Right, so entering the cargo hold area, there is a thin miasma of smoke that seems to cling here, as there is a somewhat permeable barrier on the inside of the cargo bay doors that is holding some atmosphere inside the starship. So it is a little hazy inside this room, but it is a set of double doors that leads to a chamber that is way underutilized. Maybe about 1/6 of the room has some boxes, has some crates. And in the middle of the room, as you guys head inside, you see what looks like a figure lying face down, smears of blood on the floor near them, a humanoid body on the ground in the center of the room.
When you say body, that implies dead. Do we see any signs of life out of here?
It's not moving at all. You're only about 30 feet away from it. It's kind of in the middle of this chamber, which is about 60 feet wide.
Can I go to the body and inspect it using medicine?
That is a skill I'm sure you have. Is anybody else going with Asher and Sky?
Please, someone come with me.
Redacted's 100% going.
Okay.
Well, if anybody wants
it's a body that needs probing.
Gotta probe that body.
What about you, Tyler? Is Brady hanging back towards the entrance, or are you heading forward? You're muted.
No, I wasn't muted. How dare you,
Tyler,
say that?
You muted yourself and we couldn't hear you, Tyler.
No. Prater will put a hand on Asher and Sky's shoulder and will say, if they're dead, let me know, and then I'll come help out.
And while Prater has his hand on Asher and Sky's shoulder,
don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Reaches out.
You guys, also, you got to appreciate the tentacle while you have it, because I don't think it's going to be a part of Starfighter 2nd Edition. I think the devs will have heard this podcast by now and been like, oh, man, we got to take this out.
What were we thinking?
Got to take this out immediately. Right. As you move forward to the body, you can see it is a shorter Lashunten, Demea Lashunten, indeed, in a pile.
Wait, Demea or Karasha?
Demea, is that the taller one? Am I getting that
That's
wrong?
The taller
mixed
one.
Up?
Yeah.
Well, this is a short demand. It's a freak demand, Shunta. No, it's a figure that is lying face down in their own blood. You see what looks like, as you turn them over, multiple slash marks across their chest that have cut their space suit to ribbons. As you guys see that, you hear maybe a chest, a piece of cargo kind of shifting in the back of the room, as you hear a clunk, 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 a few sets of footsteps coming towards you. Let me take us back to this map, show you what you see. Looks like a humanoid creature made of these dark purplish crystals, completely formed, kind of stagger walking, almost as if the large crystal growth that is on one side of the entity's body is unbalancing it.
Kind of looks like the Superman villain Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite was all crystalline.
Yeah.
Crystallized. As they see you around the corner here, they let out a whispering shout. Just cha. Let's roll into the initiative turn order.
I didn't get to roll my medicine check.
Sorry. Didn't have time. Is it gonna take a couple minutes?
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, spoilers. This is what killed him. Probably.
Seems like a safe assumption.
But did mine roll not happen?
I don't see it.
Guess not. Okay, I'll try again.
Oh, look, I rolled twice.
There it is. God. Roll 20. I'll take that second one.
Work with me. Oh, no. Six. You rolled your space truck into combat.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, well, that's what we're using now. That's hilarious.
Oh, whoops.
Okay.
That was the space truck's roll, not mine.
You go on the same initiative. Zilix Thel is first. Maybe you're too deep down in this Lashunten starting the investigation that you, Asher and Sky, don't notice a unity tendril coming at you. One, but two, these creatures as they move forward. Drew, what would you like to do with your turn first?
Can I roll a life science on these? Or since they're crystalline, would physical science be more?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're more in the mysticism realm. I'm just going to double check. Is there a recall knowledge about creatures? Not particularly. Pretty sure these guys will be mysticism.
This, because I'm going to aim at the one to the south and boost and shoot.
Yeah, mysticism.
Yeah.
Got him.
Please roll. Very poorly. Yeah, you did miss that sism. That is a miss. Asher and Sky, laser fire goes off right next to your head. And you see these two things coming for you.
I guess that gets my attention. Given where they are and where we are, I think I will stick with my crew and I'll shoot at the one to the north. So it's CR 20 or lower on the trick and 24 to attack.
Tricked and hit against
EAC.
Yep.
All right. So 33 damage.
Yep. And one of your laser blasts here does seem to pop one of the crystals. It does seem like there are many a crystal left on this form. Did you want to move at all, or are you sticking right next to the body?
No, I'll stay where I am.
That'll take us to Jamfram.
Oh, boy. I'm going to... Let's see. These guys are pretty ugly looking. Okay.
Wow.
They look like they're so ugly, I might be able to chop one in half. So, boop. Moving forward. Walk, 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 walk. And I am attacking with my sword, my S-word. Single attack. Ready to go. 22.
Against flat-footed KAC is a miss. Oh, no. But I'm saying oh, no, because a 4 is so close to hitting.
Real? Oh, I see. Yeah,
against a flat-footed KAC, but it's still a miss. Ooh. I mean, you have an episode reroll. That is always a possibility right off the jump. If you want
the tippy top.
Yeah. Can you roll better than a 4?
I mean, I can probably roll better than a 4, but
save it for your friends.
Maybe I will save it for my friends.
Okay. That will take us to their turn. And the one on the south side of the cargo bay is going to stagger forward here. And you watch as it leans down next to the Lashuntan's body. And you watch the crystals of this creature kind of engulf the body. Crystals growing on the corpse. Almost like a fungus. You see like smaller crystals starting towards the feet, and then they get larger and larger, and eventually it just kind of this creature goes away, and standing up is the corpse of this Demaya Lashunta, covered in crystals. It looks slightly larger than it was before. I'll change it on the figure here. And there's even more crystals than there was.
They truly are the last of us.
This one next to Jamfram is just going to make a single slam attack. It's going to try and jam one of these giant crystals down Jamfram's throat. Oh boy, a bunch of us. Pretty sure you like slashing damage. That's what these crystals do.
Thank goodness. This might be the first slashing damage in like a year. I swear it's all been like all bludgeoning and piercing.
Don't worry, because I've rolled a 5 and that's going to be a miss.
Oh, sorry.
Praetir, we're on to you next.
All right. Mysticism. I would like to try to identify.
All right. Give me a roll. Give me a little bit of a bonus because
of my mind.
I don't think you have a library.
Oh, wait. Right. I forgot. I know all about these things.
I think you're running with the crystal on the surface. These likely erupted out of the broken crystalline right outside of the ship, but these are negative energy plane outsider entities known as Kaverins. And indeed,
Kaverins. Write that down.
They are basically undead crystalline creatures.
Right. Okay. Well,
what would you like to know about them? You get to know.
I sit down and have a lunch because I'm pretty sure if they're undead, they're probably immune to mind affecting effects, aren't they?
I can tell you that they have undead immunities if that's what you want to know.
Cool.
Not good. I don't think I'm going to be very useful for the rest of the show.
Every fight is Kaverins from here on out.
Your time mage or whatever the class was that you started with would have been more or less useful in a fight like this.
Oh, so much more useful. You have no idea how powerful they get. It's so great.
Well, you learned a valuable lesson about not running into radiation fields.
I did. This mind affecting? Yes. Okay. Oh. Man, I don't know how much I want to. I don't know if I really want to be blowing big boys this early into.
Way it always goes.
Triple B's, blowing big boys.
Patrick, you know full well there's only one triple B.
All right. In these instances, we always go with the fallback Wisp ally on the classic one that Jamfram's going against, since that's a 1v1 up there.
Gosh, do I not have the Wisp on this map?
Then I'll move a little bit.
Oh, the one that's Jamfram's trying. Okay. That will take us to the space truck, aka Miles.
Okay. I'm trying to think about what I would like to do. Because I'm right front and center, and I don't love that. So yeah, I'm gonna take a shot at this thing first with my laser rifle. Okay, come on. Pop out of like roll 20 and go back in because this thing is
double rolling all night.
Yeah, because I'm gonna click it again. It's gonna. There we go. That took way too long. Wait, is that even right?
I don't think it rolled.
Oh my gosh!
Just hard roll a d20 and we'll add that 12.
All right. Wait.
Is that
click on the dice tray and just roll a 20-sided dice. Don't type in commands.
I might have to pop out because it's been saying rolling the dice for like 10 seconds.
Roll me a physical dice in the real world. I don't care. Just give me a dice roll. Oh, there
rolled
it is.
Rolled a D12.
8. That is a miss.
I have a D12. I rolled a D12.
Oh, you rolled a D12. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh,
there you go. A 2. All right, cool. And then Redacted's going to book it and go to the northwest east. And then I'm going to pop out of here and see if it fixes this.
All right. Crap. Turn 2, Zilix Thel, on to you.
All right. Oh, boy. I think we don't have much of an option other than boosting and shooting again. So that's what we're going to do.
Ooh, boosted and shot. That is a hit. You're shooting this one right in front of you that's absorbed the corpse.
Yep. Dang it. That's only 20.
Okay, but this one has not taken any hits yet. You see it kind of bypassing these crystals. It hitting the body underneath takes all that damage. Asher and Sky, you're not quite right next to this one, but it's about 5 feet away from you. It's taking this corpse away.
Yeah, I am going to go up to it. Sorry. I hope I'm not cheating. I am going to take a 5-foot step and pistol whip.
Why would you
actually
be cheating?
I'm just going to move because I'm trick attacking.
Why would you be
because
cheating?
I believe that I have an ability that I don't remember now what ability it was. This is what I'm trying to figure out, but that makes it so that my pistol whip is an unarmed attack. Is it always an unarmed attack? Maybe it always is.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I pistol whip, I'm going to spin around in my acrobatic way and attempt to hit it with my pistol. As I do so, I'm going to try to stagger it. So we'll see how this goes. Oh, that's a natural 20.
Critical hit.
Okay, it went pretty well. Staggering, the trick does not ignore the trick, but that's a critical hit. So that's 21 plus 17, which is a lot. Plus, they are staggered for a round. Oh, okay. Unless they succeeded a fortitude save.
I will say they are immune to just about everything except staggered. But any effect that requires a fortitude save, unless the effect works on objects or is harmless. So I don't know if they can be staggered if it requires a fortitude save.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Unless it works on objects or... Tyler's like, it's everything, Rebecca.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to being mad at devs for making the undead immune to so many things.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
So they're not immune to staggered, but they are immune to fortitude save things? That's stupid.
Every single undead is immune to things that require fortitude save, unless it works on objects or is harmless, but you're making a full attack here. I mean, it's taking all of this damage, which must be nice.
Good.
You must enjoy that. Is it taking all this damage? What kind of damage are you doing?
Well, it's a pistol whip with an operative weapon. So I think it's an unarmed strike. So bludgeoning?
Okay. Not sure. It actually does seem to have a little bit of damage reduction. Mostly because you crack through a crystal and hit the corpse underneath, and where a normal foe you might think would have to think twice about getting smacked upside the head with the butt of your gun, the creature's undead kind of like half crystallized face like opens up, and you see a dark purple light inside of its mouth as it hisses at you. Undead hiss. Just rah. How much damage was it total?
Oh, great question. 40. I'm so bad at math. I don't know.
All right. What's 17 plus 21?
Yeah. I can't add.
That's 38. And that's times 2, 76. Does that sound right?
No. Times 2.
Yes, because it's double damage.
Wait, but it has a crit 20. Effect. The 21 plus 17. No. The trick doesn't count because I was doing staggering strikes. So ignore the trick. It's just the 21 and 17.
Okay. So 21 plus 17 is just 38.
Yeah. If I had not done the staggering strike, then the trick would have counted and it would have been additional damage, but.
Okay. I mean, well, typically we, don't we just take the damage normally and double it? Because wouldn't that be 42?
We don't normally, but if you want to do it that way, you can.
Don't we normally?
We do, or we pull a card, but with since this was a trick attack and not...
No, we don't double it. We don't times two it. We roll the damage and then we roll the critical effect. Am I wrong about this?
No, no.
Oh no, okay.
I play way too much second edition then. Okay, so I'll take the 38, and there is some DR with that, and that puts us in, much better situation than if it was like 70-something damage. Jamfrum, you see some shenanigans happening behind you, but you're dealing with this one with a wisp ally on it by yourself.
Yep.
It is no longer flat-footed, but you do get the wisp bonus.
Cool. I'm going to fight defensively on this one. And so I'm taking a... looking for my cheat sheet card.
You're never getting hit by this guy, are you?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he
missed me on a... Yeah, he didn't have a great bonus. Yeah, I never fight defensively. I get all sorts of bonuses for it. Nah, I'm just gonna make it a regular roll attack, and I'm gonna make. Boy, I don't know. Maybe I will make a three attacks this time. If he's got a relatively low AC, maybe I can.
Yeah, I mean, the first strike will get a plus two. Is that right, Tyler?
Plus two. Yeah. So
plus two.
Well, 18. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that's not going to be enough.
What if I just keep rolling fours, Patrick?
Don't do that. No, because then you're going to put the onus on me to actually hit you.
Oh, no, I'm just going to keep rolling fours. I think I'm just going to keep on rolling those fours.
Another four. The four train rolling along.
Dude, here comes the four train. That's a little better.
Super hit on this last one. And it looks like you've got penetrating on your longsword? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that bypass? Oh, actually, I don't think
it's hardness. Mostly. Yeah.
Hardness.
Mostly hardness.
Okay. Although, if it's undead and it's got something related to being holy, I bypass that DR. And it's related to being good aligned or something?
No, but that is a full throated hit.
Yep. Are we still doing damage? Are we still doing critical effects on 19s? Is that?
We would if I had not packed the critical cards.
Oh, that's okay. I've got a critical wound. I can just chop his leg off.
Yeah. Well, actually, do you?
I guess if they are immune to crits, then
They are not immune to crits, but any of the things that would require fortitude save, they are immune to. But I think that's not all of them, right?
No. Yeah. There's some that are reflex, or you could just might be immune to bleed. I don't remember.
Let's see.
These guys don't look like they would bleed.
They might squirt.
All right. Go ahead and roll it. We'll see what happens. Because there are some reflex ones. You can chop off an arm to reflex.
Yeah. Looks like I could take out an eye with a 13, or I could do bleed with a 5.
You're pretty sure that these crystals can't bleed.
Yeah, they don't bleed. All right.
Which means you can't kill them.
Let's try to pop out that eye.
Yeah. Roll here. They get a reflex save, and their reflex is okay. I think that is still enough that, oh no, you pop a crystal off of its forehead that is like looking out of it, like shatters on the ground as it lets out a screech in your direction.
Yeah, so take that minus two perception. Yeah.
Well,
suck on that.
If you take out the other one, it's pretty big. Pretty big.
Right. If you get two, it's a big deal.
Okay, not bloodied yet as we head back to their turn.
Oh, I didn't say what my damage was. It was 40 points.
Yeah, I've got that.
And I know that you said not bloodied, but didn't we just determine these guys don't bleed?
You know, it's a term, Drew. It's a term.
Beat up!
Rebecca, you can make an attack of opportunity because this guy in front of you is going to make a ranged attack at somebody. Just a standard attack.
The 25 to hit.
That is going to hit for 21 points. Damage. Okay, not all of that goes through, but you crack it upside the head again as it kind of raises its arm back and It's gonna randomly attack one of you guys. That is not Jamfram. That's in front of it. Miles, we attack in the redacted with a crystal shard flies across the room as it kind of chucks its arm in your direction. 20, 11. That is a hit. And it would just do a little crystal shard damage. Roll some 4d6. Okay, 25 points of piercing damage.
Well, wait.
Piercing.
I am going to attempt to phase as a reaction.
The heck are you talking about, boy?
Something that I've used before. I can shift myself out of reality as a reaction to gain a 20% miss chance against one attack.
All right, cool. Go right ahead.
Right. 20%. What if we say we just roll a D10?
Whatever you want to roll. You can roll D20, D10. One or two will be phase. Oh, so close. So close, but so far. Smack.
Oh, honky.
25 piercing damage. This one is going to just slam attack or try to slam attack you again, Jamfram.
Mm-hmm.
I got to roll pretty high. And I don't even think 11 is going to do it to it. Your KC is 31?
My KC is 35, but for him it's 37.
Yeah, miss. That will take us to Radier. Back to your turn.
I'm gonna run up and put my hand on Jamfram, and I'll be like, you got this, don't worry, try again. And then I run away. Oh, but while I do all that, I do touch you and use energy blade or phase blade. There you go.
Yeah. Can you move and cast a spell and then move again?
Is that the action economy you have in SF1E? Yeah.
This is a
move action. Phase blade's a swift action. And then I can use my standard action to move again.
That's hilarious. Miles, back to redacted.
Okie dokie.
Huge battle.
No. I'm making the car big.
Where? Over here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's your turn.
Yep. Hopping in my ride.
Making it big. Oh, yeah. You can keep it underneath you there. Drew, Zelixel, turn 3.
Well, now I got a huge car behind me. And I'm worried it's going to run me over.
It's a mech. Mm-hmm. It's like a chunky mech.
It's a mech. It can step around me, right? That's how that works. So we're going
to
boost it.
Yes, it can. It chooses not to.
Yeah.
Oh, redacted.
I would get out of the way if I were you.
it's advisable.
I can't do my thing.
Do your thing,
then move.
Your thing gave 2 extra points of damage last turn.
Yeah, all right. So Zilix is just going to move to the room and shoot normally like a punk.
Got it. Normal punk shooting. 6 on the dice. 20. It's a miss. Yeah, not going to do it.
Yeah, see, if I hadn't had...
Yeah, that's what did it.
Yeah. Threw my target.
Asher and Sky.
All right, I am going to jump back, and as I do, shoot at the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It says CR7 or lower on the trick, but a 28 on the attack.
Fortunately, a miss on the trick, but that is a hit for
12 damage.
12, but
fire
it looks
this
like
time though.
Looks like it all goes through there. Jamfram, back to you.
It's me. All right, I've got the power of Grayskull, and surely this won't happen again.
Against 3 attacks. 3 attacks.
Against EAC with the phase blade. Whoop. Oh, nope. It's happening again.
That one's
plus
2.
Did you roll 4? No, you rolled a 6. You're fine.
That one's plus 2. It's 20.
Plus 2. 20 versus EAC.
That is a miss.
Yep. I tried.
Yeah. We do our best here.
Yeah.
Good God.
Oh,
we
no.
give it 110%.
3 on the dice.
Oh, right, there's another. 90. I'm taking that other eye.
I swear if you do. Did you roll it?
Yeah, 12.
That's so funny.
Give me that other eye.
All right, I gotta roll reflex. Gotta roll it.
For what?
Yep. It's a reflex save. The eye's gone.
Give me that other eye.
It blasts out. your first two attacks are obviously feints, setting up a devastating third attack. This is 33 points of damage here, and that is enough to bloody this one. But yeah, I mean, two eyes gone. I'm saying it has the blind condition now. It's just going to be swiping at you blindly. And we're gonna do that right now. I'm actually gonna make two attacks because I need to crit fish for this guy as it is screeching out in maybe the facsimile of crystalline pain, reaching out for you. Okay, natural one and natural eight. So these dice rolls, they are accurately reflecting the fact that it has no vision. Although I haven't even really looked at their.
Sorry. Patrick, you said the facsimile of crystalline pain.
Yeah, I mean these aren't that's used to this.
Sorry, that's just that phrase just is resonating with me. Sorry,
they are not used to this plane's kind of energy. So I mean, they don't know how to register pain. They also don't know how to register. Oh, okay.
Ours. Well,
I will say, it does seem to be looking in your direction still without its crystalline eyes, but yeah, it is not able to hit you here. The other one is going to make a ranged attack against, obviously redacted, still in the car. It knows what's happening. 14 on the dice.
I'm just trying to listen to some tunes, that's all.
It knows what you're about to do, Miles.
Does this creature know about vehicles?
You're taking another 28 points of damage as a crystal blasts through the windshield here. Tyler, we're on to you.
Wait. No, I'm going to try phase again.
How many times can you do it?
Equal to my constitution modifier, which is 2.
Go right ahead.
All right.
Not today.
Ah,
not today. I'm rolling randomly and it just hates redacted, this crystalline creature.
No kidding.
And as you haven't even given it a reason yet. To. You haven't given a reason yet, but I imagine. Tyler, what would you like to do? We got to get to this action.
Every time it comes to me. Oh, I know what I can do. We'll just cast communal bond. You're doing great, Jeffram. Keep it up. That's my turn.
All right, space truck Miles.
Okie dokie. Gonna run over this thing.
Broom, broom.
It's been a while since you've had a medium-sized opponent.
Love it so much.
Why don't I have the rules? Yes, run over. Make me that piloting check, I think.
All righty. Do I make the piloting check or do you just make a reflex?
No, it's a full action piloting check. I think even on a one, though, you might be able to succeed, so I don't know.
Okie dokie. I mean, we got to do it for posterity. Yeah, 35.
Very good. I mean, you are in tight quarter, so I think there would be some potential negatives.
Yeah, that's true.
Making the mech in the cargo hold, but you're able to go all around the rafters and the kind of mechanics of moving objects that's in the ceiling of this part of the ship. And move right over this creature. They get a reflex save. So I'm going to go ahead and roll that. Yep. Okay. Reflex. Ooh, but not good enough. 9 on the dice. Right. It's going to be a fail. So it's taken
full 66. Runover. Does it get anything extra for that? I can't remember if I have. It's been a while since I've actually got to do this.
Nope. I mean, you take the vehicle takes some damage as well. But yeah, you're crunching into this thing as you walk past. Go ahead and roll that damage.
Okay.
Ooh, pretty good.
All right, 20 points of damage. I mean, the thing is like, you know, this creature sees redacted kind of revving up, and then you start to hear the sounds of Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart. The guitar start to ramp up as the wheels start to spin, and then tires screech as soon as the main guitar starts to like funnel in, and you just see this thing fly across the room over this crystal creature.
don't think it's got tires on the survey walker, but
it's got metaphorical tires.
It does. It does the Scooby-Doo cartoon, like,
yes, exactly. Anything that moves super fast is automatically a circle.
Okay. Yeah. As this thing lets out another screech of pain as you move past it, actually didn't do that much damage because this thing does have a little bit of DR. But yeah, you hear it calling out, perhaps in your mind, redacted.
To be continued.
Curses and to be continued. Yeah.
Let's I was just joking.
No, we're going to start this fight mid combat next week. These guys are almost both exactly bloodied. We're right in that halfway mark. And we're going to pick up with turn 4, I believe, next week. Everybody. You guys are.
Yeah, I was getting pumped up. I was actually listening to Motley Crue.
Am I allowed to retrain in the middle of combat?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No. But I mean, I don't know. Think about it for your next level up. You know, what if you say you fought 20 more of these for the rest of the campaign? Just throw it in.
Line them up. Line them up.
Oh no. Oh no.
That run over just goes right through.
That is going to do it for us here, folks. Guys, thank you for playing with me.
Patrick, thank you, Patrick.
Hosting.
We have just started in still. We're kind of towards the beginning of book 6 of Horizons of the Vast, The Culling Shadow. But we'll have a lot more of it continuing on next week. Until then, thank you, listeners, and we will catch you on the next week's episode of Cosmic Ray.
Night.
Goodbye.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.